Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for bringing us along, getting us ready, getting rid of self, getting rid of the world, getting rid of the things that hinder our walk. And we know you're doing the work as we relinquish our rights to hold on to self and the world. And I praise you and thank you, Father, for doing a quick work in all of us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that bringing the enemies down even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, for your healing power upon everybody that needs it. And I ask and I pray, Father, that we place it in everybody's heart to strengthen our faith by being in the Word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? I did notice, just to mention, there was a 4-point-something earthquake up close to New Madrid in the northeast, southeast corner of Missouri. And that's right there where New Madrid is, pretty close to New Madrid. So, Lord, we thank you for preparing your people and getting them to where they need to go. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? I thank you for this wonderful weather. Cooter, Missouri. That's a good name. I like that. Scooter, Cooter. Cooter, Scooter. All right. I've probably been through there. I didn't know it. I used to go up that area a lot. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Or would like to pray? All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was wondering if any of you were available at 10 o'clock today to go pick Nick up. I can't do it. I did something to my back 2 days ago, and I took him to work today, and it just did not feel good. But I was praising the Lord all the way there.
Amen.
And I haven't taken anything. Frank keeps trying to push pills on me, but I'm like, nope, not going to do it. So, Lord, just take care of this, and we're just going to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's pray that everybody here was going to agree. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command this back problem to be gone. In the name of Jesus, we bind you from any more pain. We command you to go from her. We loose you from her body right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Vanita is completely healed, delivered, and set free. And as she goes to pick Nick up, she's not going to feel anything. It's going to be an awesome time. And she'll come back with a testimony, hollering and yelling and praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Benita. And all of us agree and say, amen. It's done.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Isn't that right, Benjamin? Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I did notice I'll have to think about that one. Go ahead, Julie.
Well, we can pray about pray for our nation and leaders. We always need it. But Father, we just lift up our president, Cyrus Trump. And Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing through him and the people that are in his administration. Lord, you put them all there. And we thank you, Lord, that you have an awesome plan and you want to bring it all to pass, every purpose that you have for him. And we just lift him up to the throne of grace, Lord, and pray your hedge of protection around him, his family, and those who are working with him in the alliance, the military, special forces, all the people known and unknown to the multitudes, Lord, that they are able to do their jobs and to do it effectually. And it doesn't matter that the public knows everything. It matters that they're able to do their work. So we send the angels to guard them, protect them, and make it easy for them. I thank you for bringing down the deep state, draining the swamp. And Lord, exposing all the criminality and everyone be held accountable for each and everything that they've done. And there's a lot of evidence that seems to be leaking out and coming out. But we're, Lord, I know the masses want arrests and they want the judgment to come. And I know you're going to do everything in your timing for that. So we bind up all the hate and the railing and the speaking against and all of the curses being sent against President and the people who are working for him. And we cast all that down. And we thank you, Lord, that there is unity in their midst, that they are able to do their job, that they are able to come into an understanding, Lord, that they can do what they're supposed to be doing and supporting the president in place of speaking against them the way they've been doing, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, you hear our commands, you hear the things we do and pray in secret, Lord, and pray in our prayer closet, praying in tongues, and that your perfect will is going to be done and carried out so that this country can be where it's supposed to be, to do what it's supposed to be doing between now and the end of time. And I thank you, Lord, for making America great again to establish that purpose, and also that the funds can be taken care of where they need to go, and the church can be rebuilt according to your plan and what's written in scripture, and the prophecy be fulfilled in that regard. I thank you, Lord, for sending the angels to get the criminals caught and deport illegals, help ICE do their job, help the military do their job, that they would be supportive and very effectual in their work and doing what we have sent them to do. We praise you, Lord, that your timing is awesome and that you don't fail, and your plans for this will not fail in the name of Jesus. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Speaking on that lines, I saw J.D. Vance take down AOL. Ooh, golly, it was so beautiful. My goodness. What does that mean, Missy? You don't know who AOL is? Yeah, it was on film.
What do you
It
mean
wasn't
exactly by?
the actual thing. He was narrating what went on, and the news has it on the news. She came up and she it was an oversight committee. You know, J.D. Vance is the head of the fraud department, and she came up and she's touted herself, patted herself on the back, all the good stuff that she's done. And J.D. Vance just waited till his time. Now they said, the guy said he had a stack of papers on her. Said, man, said, but when she got through, he waited till she got through, was real polite with her, you know. Then he started in, and he just blasted her with all the corruption that she's been involved with. She stipulated that she was a friend of the working class people And she had a sweater on or a shirt on that said, "Tax the Millionaires." Yeah. And he said, "That's funny." I said, "I'm sure the people that have given you money over the years," and he started $1 million here, $1 million there, $1 million here, you know. Oh my goodness. He just laid it out for her. It was so cool. I was sitting there just laughing. And she brought up his grandmother. He wrote a book about his grandmother. And apparently made a lot of money off of it. And she was saying, "Yeah, you made a lot of money off of your grandmother's back. She shouldn't have done that." He said, he waited till she got through with her stupid self. And he said, "Let me tell you about the money that I made off of that book." He said, I set up a foundation for young kids that don't have the ability to go to these bigger colleges and to send them there." He said, "That's one thing." And then he got another thing. He had two or three foundations that he created out of that money. Didn't use a penny of it for himself. And she couldn't do anything but said, "Uh-oh, I think I messed up," kind of deal. Well, she did. She every time she opened her mouth, he had a comeback on fraudulent stuff that she did. But anyway, it was real good. If you run across it, you ought to watch it. Okay, Missy, go ahead. Missy, you're muted. I don't know if you know that.
I lowered my hand, and for some dumb reason, I think that's gonna open my mic too.
Well, it can read your mind, I guess.
Okay. I just want to piggyback off what Julie was praying. We just cast down this faction. We command the faction that's amongst all them that are having slander in President Trump, and that are MAGA, former MAGA, whatever, I don't know, people that have supported him, and now all of a sudden they have issues, and we just bind this up, and all witchcraft that's being thrown their way, and Lord, change their minds on this, and let them know that they need to talk to President Trump. President Trump needs to talk to them, and not be airing all this out, in public, on media and everything. And Lord, we just command this to stop now in the name of Jesus, and bring them all to their senses, Lord, that they're not helping the country. They're making things worse by what they're doing, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for getting them back on track, and supporting President Trump according to what you want him to do, Lord. You work all things after the counsel of your own will, of your will, Lord. And I know that you're going to use this in some shape or form, not quite sure exactly, but we thank you, Lord, for just turning it all around, Lord. To end up being just reversing it all, Lord, and that there be good that comes out of it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, go ahead, Jenny.
On another little vein, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your gift of love and granting repentance to people. I thank you, Lord, that you've heard the prayers of us, all of us, Lord, for our loved ones and family members, and especially those who are caught up in religion and believe in these lying doctrines and deceitful lying ministers and such, Lord. We come against these spirits of false doctrine. There's so many of them, Lord, but we just bind them all up. Those people that are bound up in religion, we bind those spirits of religion, cast them down. We pray, Lord, that you are working in their hearts to give them a desire to seek you for the truth, to seek you for answers for themselves. You use all things, Lord, even the stuff going on with Magna and the bad stuff that's being spoken about the president. But Lord, maybe people need to be hearing such things and repenting of their idolatry with this man. That's just one thing. And I thank you, Lord, for also just that they would seek you and not put their trust in man, not put their trust in, I think, Psalm 118, not to put their trust in man, and their trust in princes and that kind of thing, and the leadership, Lord, that they want you to rule over them, and that they don't want a king. They want you, Lord, to be king over them. So I pray, God, that you will grant repentance and that you're working in their hearts and turning them and opening up their eyes, granting them the ability to see where they are in error and what they've been thinking. Bind up all these lies of the enemy that have been working in them, Lord, and that they will get to see that there's so much more. They will get to see that there's so much more, that you put it in there to seek you and seek you earnestly, that you may the time where at this time where you can still be found, and that you will have mercy on them, Lord. And we know there are great judgments that have been spoken and given over the years, and yet they poo-poo that stuff, and they just think that it's not going to happen, that they're not going to be here, that they're going to be caught up in this, this false pre-trib rapture and that kind of thing, and they're not going to have to face anything, and they're going to be so spiritually unready, Lord, that there's going to be a lot of trouble for them. And so, Lord, you know who needs to repent. You know who those people are also that need to go into captivity. Your word does say that too. But Lord, please hear our prayers for repentance with our families, God, in Jesus' name. Before these
Amen.
judgment
Praise him.
come, Lord, that there's still time, that there's still time for them to come out from among them. In Jesus' name. Please.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to add to it just a little bit if I can. Lord, the MAGA people that are in faction, that's exactly what it looks like. We come against that. We come against that spirit. And we command that spirit to leave this bunch right now. In the name of Jesus, we break your power over Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, Candace Owens, all of these people, and all the rest of them, Lord, that are coming against them. They don't have a clue what's going on or what Trump is doing. He is actually doing exactly like you want him to do. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for bringing them back in. They don't know the end game. All they know is what they see and hear. Father, we know that you are guiding him in a way that will get this war stopped. And we praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we're going to see a turnaround here very shortly. In Jesus' name. Go ahead. Criticism and backbiting and faction and all of that stuff. Go ahead, Missy.
Father, the President Trump has a group of spiritual advisors that are no good whatsoever. A bunch of Jezebels, whether they're males or females, they're Jezebels. And crooked and evil and I believe they're using witchcraft too, and Zionists, probably some of them are Zionists, Lord, just send forth the angels to get all the goods on them. Expose all their sins, Lord, all their corruption, all their evils, Lord, and bring this group down. And we just thank you, Lord, for bringing this spiritual advisory group or whatever it is to an end in Jesus' name. Lord. And Lord, for those out there that think President Trump is a Christian, open their eyes. Open their eyes to see that he's not a Christian. Not that they can't pray that he does repent and believe, but open their eyes, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? There, what he's doing over there, and I'm not going to get into a lot of it, but will tell you this, that what looks like is not what it is. There are things that we don't know about, that we've heard about, that reason that he's doing the way he's doing it. And people who don't know that are not in the know. They just spout off at the mouth and they don't understand what they're doing. They're causing faction, and it's not a good thing. So that's why we keep praying against it. Amen. Yep, criticism, judging, all that stuff. But building up Trump's ego, I don't know if it can be built up anymore than what he's already got it. I'm just saying. Go ahead,
well,
Julie.
It's kind of like what Missy was praying against is the spiritual advisors that, you know, that are sitting there in the White House, and all these, you know, big names in the, you know, Christian world, whatever. But they, you know, they pump him up. They fill his head with all these great things and, you know, make his ego. I mean, they feed his ego is what they do. That's what I meant. Feeding his ego by saying all that stuff and the way they treat him. Thank you, Lord, for humbling him in due time.
Yeah, just remember this. The guy you see on TV is not Trump. Trump's over in Cheyenne Mountain running the show. He's the one doing everything. The guy on the TV is he's just a mouthpiece. He's doing what Trump tells him to do. And you know, sometimes he makes mistakes. Okay. Yep, Lord, we do. We pray for this man is playing Trump to come to you, Lord, that we break the power of Satan off of him. If he's not a Christian, and I'm sure he's not, but I ask, Lord, that you bring him in, that you'd send somebody, that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody that he would listen to and come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, I've got a good song for tonight. Probably most of you hadn't heard it, if not all of you, but it's a good one. If I can get things going, we'll do it. Can't you hear it? Okay, I forgot to hit the little boxes. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Defeated, I rise. Every test of time. Through the voice of doubt, I still climb. Every breath is power, every step is flame. I don't wait for destiny, I become the name. Push me down, I rise again. Break the storm, I won't bend. Through the pressure, I ignite. I was just born to win this fight. I rise higher than the fear inside me. I rise stronger every time I fall. Nothing can hold me. Nothing controls me. I rise, I rise, I rise. I stand, I fight, I rise. I stand, I fight, I rise. Through the fire, I transform. Through the storm, I am reborn.
I rise, rise up, rise up. I rise, rise up, rise up.
Hey, that's a good song. I say if you listen to that for a week, I think he said. Hang on just a second. And listen every day for a week, and you'll feel the shift. So apparently you're going to be shifting to the winning side. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's a good song. I like the words. All right. Anybody else? Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Real good news. Where are we? Anybody know what page we're on? Julie? Go ahead, Joe.
We are. Quickly, you asked me. We're on page 72 at the beginning of chapter 6.
Oh, okay. Oh, we've gone quite a ways in, haven't we?
Right.
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Morning,
brother.
All. Hi. Good morning, all. I just want to ask a question and... Genesis 35, verse 14. Oh, I'll put it there. Okay.
Can you repeat the address, Joe?
Genesis 35, 35. Verse 14.
They say 55.
You say Genesis
35. verse 14.
Okay.
My question is what's that spiritual meaning of that drink offering and the oil? A drink offering is put out and I pour oil on it. What's the spiritual meaning of that?
All right, anybody want to give the answer? Thirty-five and 14. Okay, I thought I said 25. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew. Okay. Let me look at that.
This is just after the Lord said, Jacob, your name shall not be Jacob anymore, but shall be Israel. Just after that, he said to him, a pillar, I am Almighty God. Just after that, that's about the pillar he put the drink offering and the oil.
Anybody want to venture? And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he spake with him. Is that it?
Yeah.
With him a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering thereon and poured all thereon. What do you think it is, Joe?
I'm not sure if it's a name change. In other words, it changed his nature. In other words, the name change means his nature, character, and for it to change. He's becoming now Israel. Israel means you will rule as God. In other words, he changed his name, but I'm not sure why. Why is that for all on it? Is that the spiritual meaning of anointed him with the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure.
Well, that actually looks like the first talk of the drink offering there in that particular verse. Anybody want to give a All right, put that in the back of your mind and we'll come back to it.
Okay, that is fine. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. Well, I say a lot. There's a few places. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's quite a number of places where it says drink offering. It's unto the Lord, so it's got to be good, right? Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was looking at the Esau.
I know. It's okay. Well, I wanted to know what does it mean when you pour out a drink offering? Is that making a sacrifice? Is that a... like a memorial kind of thing? Is that what he was doing, making a memorial of something? I guess it would help understanding what that means to pour out a drink offering. Because I have no clue.
Go ahead,
Ben knows.
Well, I don't have a full answer, so don't hold your breath.
Okay.
But what kind of reminds me is when Elijah poured out all that water on that offering, when he was finally asking and then God answered his prayer. So maybe it could be,
but God lift up the water there too. in Elijah's water offering, when they were supposed to both make their offerings, that the Baal offering, no rain came, and the fire didn't come down to consume the wood, and then but it didn't come down on the false prophet's offering. So, when Elijah said, correct me if I have to replace them, that pour wood, pour the water on the wood, and because there was no rain, but he was wasting water apparently, but God came down and took up his offering and took up all the water too at the same time. So you know, he's pouring out an offering, but to who is he pouring it out to? So this is just us thinking here and sharing.
I'm not sure if it applies to what we're looking at, but that's what I thought about when that was said.
Now, the significance of it, I'm not sure, but if you look, he set up a pillar in the place where he spake with the Lord, where he spoke with him. A pillar of stone. Is that Jesus? And the water maybe signifies the word. And he poured out a drink offering thereon and poured all the Spirit of God thereon. So maybe that's what it is, you know. It's something for the Lord. That's what I'm thinking. And we'll have to, we can look at it some more, but I like that. You can't just talk.
I remember.
Go ahead, Joe.
I remember when, I think drink offering, I think if I remember correctly, is you don't drink it, you pour it out on the ground. In other words, it's not worthy to drink it. I'm not sure how to think about that, because when David sent his three mighty men to fetch water from other side from the place, and he bring it and he says, Lord, faith to bear it lies in my hands to bring some water. I'm not going to drink it. I'm pouring it out on the ground. That's what I understand the drink offering is. You don't drink it. It's not, I'm not sure about the significance, but that's one part also that you think about it. You pour the drink offering. It's not to drink it. You pour it out on the ground. It's not worthy to drink it. I'm not sure how to apply that. But same as with David. That's why I think about the drink offering.
Well, it could be. He poured out a drink offering thereon on the pillar of stone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Could be. All right. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead. That's a good question, Joe.
It certainly shows of the great significance, because in the 13th verse, God rises up and disappears from the place. This is the place where God talked with man. And fortunately for us, we have a relationship where God can talk to us quite a bit, you know, because he talks to us through the New Testament, the Spirit of the Word. And he made the significance, I think, there with the oil to say that this is where the Spirit of God was. This is where God's presence was. This pillar is, you know, sometimes they refer to Peter and Paul as pillars in the church, you know. So this is a significant place for Jacob to be have such a wonderful renaming from God himself, you know. And he wanted to put emphasis on this new name thing, because now he can rule as God, you know. And that's why the pillar is there, you know. It's a name change, and it's a name change for the church too, because we see the Israel of God over there in chapter 6 of Galatia 15 and 16. The Israel of God, it even says it that way. And of course, we also see the Israel of God in Romans 11, you know. And all Israel shall be saved. So there you have it. So, and of course, the Israel was included with the Gentiles, not just the Jews now, because the person who God breathed the word to, the Apostle Paul, was a Jew, and he had a Roman citizenship, but he was talking to Rome, the Romans, perhaps in Rome there too, not just Israelites. So. Praise and glory to God. It seems like everywhere he went, you know, in his ship, when he was shipped out in the book of Acts, he met people who were brethren. How come? Nobody went there yet. No apostle went there yet. So these people were dispersed and they heard from someone else, you know, they heard from perhaps just another brother, another disciple. And, you know, he shows up at Sicily there and after he gets back from the island from where he got snake bit, and he found brethren there, you know, and everywhere he landed and went, there was some brethren. So, you know, the significance of this name change was happening to the people. And however, with Paul, he had much glory and much light to share with them. And now, this is a new beginning for Jacob. You know, it's got a significance, I think, in a name change. Because we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens.
I mean,
but we get a name change, or when we seal our salvation in our baptism, and we got a name change, you know, through those items that we did. Praise and glory to God. It should be significant to us. Our baptism is very significant because it seals our salvation. So there is a name change there. Praise and glory to God for that. You know, we're risen to the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're risen into newness of life and newness of name. You know, and that's why we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. I think the significance is what he was trying to develop them. Like, wow, what did you just name me? You know? And now I have to do something here, you know, and this is significant. This is like an apostle. I'm not an apostle, but a prophet using his hair when he threw it to the wind. To signify a revelation here from God, I think. Praise the Lord God.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Anybody else? Okay.
Did that sound right? Because I don't really know what I just did.
Well, yeah, it sounded pretty good to me. I
okay.
didn't understand it, but I didn't.
I'm not trying to think significant. That's just an opinion or somewhere. It came from somewhere. Praise and glory to God.
Well, praise God. It sounded good. By the way, what did Jacob call that place where God spoke to him? He called it Bethel, house of God. Yeah.
Ain't that a really good sanctuary?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that sanctuary gets open in the book of Revelation.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got anything on what? Does that sound good, Joe?
Yeah, but what does that oil mean? Is that mean of the Holy Spirit? Is it
That's what I would think, yes. Yeah, filled him with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, in order for God to be called light, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. But what do you need in your lamp? In your lampstand, you need oil. And there's light that comes out of that lamp. And that's how significant you are to the Lord. But, you know, the stars give light too. And it's a message in Revelation chapter 1, the last verse. And if every single light, seven lights on that lampstand, lights as bright as a star, it will be that message. That message is the word of God. But it can be brighter too, the seven lights, because in a unison, we can share the light that God gives to us. And the light could be brighter for us then. Because we are individual lights and messages, but corporately, we shine off of each other because it's the same light. And because we're children of light, but this light leads to the life and it leads to the word. If you put it in reverse in chapter 1 of John, because first came the word, then came the life, and then came the light of men, you know. So, but in reverse, it's the light to the life to the word of God, you see, which sanctifies and cleanses us with the washing of water by his word. But and the name is a word. And glory to God.
Amen. Okay. Anything else, Joe?
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. That's a good question. Thank you for bringing it up. All right. Chapter 6, the curse is taken away. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for taking that curse away. That's on page 72. David said, we've been having a good time studying the real good news. It's just so encouraging to know what the Lord has really done for us. He said, I'm saddened that so many people don't understand what the Lord has already accomplished for us and that we just enter into this freely by faith. It's already accomplished. But so many people are spending so much of their time trying to convince God to do something that the Bible says he's already done, when we should just rejoice and give praise and thanks to him. So let's start here, he says, by taking a deeper look at the curse. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I'm sure some people think that this is a prosperity type word, but I believe in the prosperity that is spoken of in the Scriptures. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I'm going to stop here just a minute. What I'm going to do is, when I get through with a paragraph, I'm going to pass it on to Missy, and then she's going to pass it on to Andrew, and then Andrew's going to pass it on. We'll just go around the table. Is that okay? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I was just going to mention on the prosper there, because it's interesting how in chapter 13 of Matthew, you got the pearl pearl of great price, you know, and the buried treasure there. And of course, in Matthew chapter 6, there's the treasure, your treasure is where your heart is also. And as a child of God, you want your heart enlarged.
Amen.
And you want your mouth open. You know, our mouths are open wide unto you. Paul's address, the Corinthians, our heart enlarged. And that's just like the Romans in book there, where in chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So, you know, there is a smaller heart for some people. I'm not talking about a physical heart here. I'm talking about someone who needs to mature in Christ, you know, to go from fruit 30, 60 to 100 fold. But there, you know, what about 40 or 55, you know, or 70 fold fruit, you know? So it's just sometimes, you know, when God shows you that detail. He showed me that the other day when I was reading that about the mouth, because it's a singular mouth. And some people really have a bad mouth, you know, like you don't want that bad lion's mouth. I mentioned that before in chapter 13 of Revelation. You want to speak like the Lion of Judah. So you want the mouth, and it's a one mouth thing, you know, just like Peter said, the oracles of God in 4:11 of 1 Peter. I just wanted to share that as what it would be precious. And it kind of goes with what, verses we were just talking about in Genesis 35.
Amen. Also, if you don't want to read, it doesn't make any difference whether you want to, you know, you don't have to read if you don't want to. Raise your hand so we can at least understand that we're going to go over you. So if you don't want to read, raise your little yellow hand and put it up there and Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and keep on. I'll probably read a little more than anybody else. Let's start here by taking a deeper look at the curse. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I'm sure some people think that this is a prosperity. Did I read the prosperity type word? And I'll read it again. But I believe in the prosperity that is spoken of in the Scriptures. 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That thou mayest prosper. The Greek word there is euodou, meaning to help on the road or to succeed in reaching. Even as thy soul prospers. Prosperity in the kingdom of God is not the same thing as prosperity in the world. To prosper in the kingdom of God is to grow up in Him and to be useful in everything that we do. It's not to be burdened down by the curse that's upon this world and upon everybody in this world, unless they begin to walk by faith. So we have to learn to walk by faith in order for the Lord Jesus to walk in us and do His works in us. We have to learn to walk by faith in order to live out from under this curse. And that's not something that comes naturally to us. It's supernatural. We do know that the Lord is saying that God put our curse of the law upon Jesus so that we might have the blessing. And the word blessing in the Scripture is the opposite of the word cursing. We know that from Deuteronomy 28, where the blessings and the curses are pronounced, Deuteronomy 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Recently, we've been seeing a real rash of people who claimed to be hearing the voice of the Lord. And I ran into people like that when I was young in the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord very clearly, all right, but the only thing wrong was that what the voice would say to them was not according to his commandments. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
We have to be careful about what voice we hear, and especially so when we begin to deny the word of the Lord for some other voice because we know it's another Jesus and a false gospel. The Hebrew word for hearken means to hear and obey. Hear and obey the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments. That sounds pretty heavy, doesn't it? How can you have the blessing of God unless you observe to do all his commandments? Well, I'm going to point out a couple of things to you here. Do you know the difference between the law and grace? Do you know that all of God's commandments in the Old Testament mean one thing, but all of his commandments in the New Testament mean quite another thing? That's one reason it's called the Good News. Did you know that the Israelites were held accountable to every commandment in the Old Testament, even if they were ignorant? It made no difference whatsoever. If you found out later that they had disobeyed one, they had to pay the penalty because they had offended God, Leviticus 5:17. And if anyone sin and do any of the things which the Lord hath commanded not to be done, that's a lot when you're talking about the Old Testament. Nobody can remember all those rules and regulations.
Amen.
Though he knew it not, ignorance was no curse. I'm sorry. Ignorance was no excuse under the law. Yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. In other words, the curse was upon them, Leviticus 5:18. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, according to thy estimation, for trespass offerings unto the priest, and the priest shall and the priest shall make atonement for him concerning the thing wherein he erred unwittingly, and knew it not. He shall be forgiven. It is a trespass offering. He is certainly guilty before the Lord.
Amen. Anybody got any comments? Okay, go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
One of the complaints that Paul had about the old covenant was that it couldn't make you perfect. Hebrews 10:1-4. It forgave sins, looking forward to the time of Christ and his sacrifice, but it could not take away sins. We know in the New Testament that is exactly why Christ came. He was, John 1:29, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In other words, he came to take away the very nature of sin itself, something the law could not do. Here we see that ignorance was no excuse under the law. You were guilty if you broke one of these commandments, even if you didn't know where it was or what it was. I suppose that most people probably didn't even bother to try and figure out which one it was. They just had their sacrifice every year for a blood atonement. The word atonement means to cover. Their sacrifice was a blood covering for their sin. We know that we don't have to go get a ram out of the flock. That's already been solved for us. The Lord Jesus has already been our sacrifice and has already borne our curse. The great thing about the New Testament is that God raises us up the same way we raise our children. We consider that it's normal for a child in innocency and ignorance to do foolish things. In the New Testament, God does the same thing. He considers your maturity and the word that's in your heart. But the law didn't do that. So when it says in Deuteronomy that you had to keep all of his commandments in order to have these blessings of God, that was almost impossible unless you made the sacrifice as an atonement or covering. Well, guess what? We have the covering consistently by faith because our ram has already been sacrificed. Would you like me to keep going?
Well, it's up to you.
Sure. The reason it's called the good news in the New Testament is because of the way God deals with us in sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Why is that? It's because the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that when God promised the new covenant, he said, Hebrews 8 and 10, I will put my laws into their mind, and on their heart also will I write them. So what he held us accountable to in the Old Covenant was the law that was written on the pages. But in the New Testament, what he holds us accountable to is the law that is written upon our heart. In other words, we're held accountable to any transgression against our knowledge of God, but the deeds that we're ignorant of, like those finer points of the law, have a covering. I'm certainly not saying that outward immorality is ignorant. Everybody knows that fornication, lying, and stealing are sins. I hear so many saints say that they're living under some kind of curse. They've come to God, they've accepted that Jesus became a curse for them, but the thought that the devil always brings into their mind is, maybe this healing isn't being manifested in my life because of something I don't know about. Or maybe this deliverance isn't being manifested in my life because of something I did that I've forgotten. But now we see that's not what God is holding against you. According to what scriptures say, you can probably just push that aside and start dealing with your faith, because that's probably what's causing you to not be able to partake of these benefits. That's why we're stressing this so much. You have to have faith to partake of these benefits. Romans chapter 4, verse 15. For the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. Wow, that's a really good deal, and nothing like what we have just read in Leviticus 5, is it? For this cause, it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Paul said if a person is seeking to be justified by the law, they have to keep the whole law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. That's impossible. So it's better to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ, which gives us this New Testament blood covering. Does anyone else want to read?
I have a question. So not reading it yet, but I did have a question. So Romans 4:15, where it says, for the law worketh wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there any transgression. So does that mean like in the New Testament, because if you don't know you're doing something wrong, then it's not a law to you. Is that what that you think that all, is that what that means? So if you don't know it's wrong, that it might be wrong, but if you don't know that it's wrong and you're doing it, then you're not held accountable. Is that what that means?
Go ahead, Andrew. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I was going to just mention in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's not ink on the paper, nor is it engraved in stone, but he has to write it upon your heart. It's the Spirit that writes this word upon your heart, and you get a circumcised heart there. And that now is not a problem for you anymore. That's how I summarize this. God has to give it to you and write it there. You know, I'm trying to think of an example. People like examples, you know. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a youth there. And the Lord restored the youth. He didn't really restore the mother, the whatever, the new mother. And because we don't really hear anything about her. You know, the Lord really likes to help youths. They can fall out of the third floor rafters down dead. And he restored that youth back to life. You see, the same way he's going to restore the youth back to life in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So a child of God, you know, he referred to these Corinthians as children. So and their hearts had to be enlarged. What does that mean? You know, our hearts enlarged is how the apostle announced himself. Our mouth is open wide to you. So I hope you understand by this comment that I made on how it happens. That's the only way I can put it now. To be safe, you know, because the Lord, he's sovereign, and he has to do it through us. And we all know that. It's if the Lord is responsible for writing it upon our minds and in our hearts, then we know that the real danger now is words that are spoken, whether they're the light or the darkness. And of course, Isaiah warns us about that, you know, in Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe unto them that call light darkness and darkness light, and those who call good evil and evil good, and those who call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. So I think that's a cautionary thing. You know? I hope that gives you not a concept so much of teaching, but an understanding there of this, because a teacher really has to get the wording verbatim there and correctly. But the understanding person is sometimes like a person who can't even read, like Felicitas was, but Perpetua, because she could read two languages, had more of a thing there, because she could go to the printed word. And that's why we have these printed words too, because someone already went through some of this stuff, and someone is now conveying it to us, and it helps us to read these things. Praise and glory to God. I'm just trying to be real careful I say these things. Praise God. Glory to God.
Thanks, Andrew. I can read if nobody else wants to. You don't want to read, Andrew? Okay, I'll read for a little while. Okay, are we at Romans 4.4? 4.4? So we finished up? Okay. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. In other words, this is a person who tries by their works to be perfect enough before God to be accepted, healed, or delivered. But you can't be good enough to receive these blessings from God, not under grace. You are trying to make God owe you something, and it won't happen because you can never keep all the law. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now he's speaking of all the ignorances of God's ways and his teachings. We're just like a little child. We're ignorant, small, immature, and God reckons that to us. He does not impute iniquity to someone who is not grown into his righteousness yet. Again, Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Even as David also pronounced blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from his works. God reckons us to be his righteous. God reckons us to be his righteous, pure sons by faith. And we accept that fact. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And we, in Romans 6:11, we reckon ourselves, even so reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And that faith causes God to impute righteousness to us. Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. So you see, the really good deal we have in the new covenant is that where there is no law, neither is there transgression. I can continue for a little bit. Okay. We can read that again here in Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world. What does that mean? Well, transgression against the will of God was in the world before the law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In the New Testament, when there is no law written in our mind or in our heart, sin is not reckoned unto us. So no matter what age we are in the Lord, we can walk perfectly before our God, because at every age, we are ignorant of some things that would be pleasing to God. I guess that answered my question with the teaching, Andrew. Praise the Lord. In the New Testament, are ignorant of some things that would be pleasing God. In the New Testament, our Heavenly Father is a Father who looks upon his child and is pleased, even when they are stumbling in their feeble attempts to get up and walk. And sometimes we fail a little bit less this time than last time. And that's normal relationship, where the law was not a normal relationship. Sometimes children condemn themselves because they stumble and can't get upright. But the Lord doesn't want you to condemn yourself. He wants you to have faith for something better. He wants you to have faith in him to work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what salvation in the New Testament is all about. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Barbara, did you want to read? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, like,
I just want to like say that this sanctuary we have is how this actually works with what you just said here, because we have God walking in us, and he's treating us as a father would, you know. So and some people mess up more than others, you know. And did you ever have someone who just doesn't listen, you know? Like you try to tell them some good stuff, you know, and you wonder if this person is at least called by God, and then you try to get into a little bit of detail, and they even get angry with you sometimes, you know. So and this is something that we're all trying to, well, at least I am trying to get trying to get through these things to learn a lesson by them. You know, it's good to have your talent 100%, but you know, some people don't have as much talent as other people, I think, the five and the two. But the guy who had five, he got 11 in the end. He got 110%, or you know, whatever, because he got a lesson from someone else's mistake, you know, on how he thought about the Lord, you know. So you know that, and this is why, you know, to get all these answers here in this,
this teaching here is really good, because sometimes people learn from other people's mistakes too, you know. And he vaguely got into that in some of the what some Christians do, you know, because you know that's what happened in Galatia. I'm just trying to find an example there to how these people were called into a different gospel or something, you know. And so Paul showed up at the perfect time when he went to Galatia. I don't know if it's a city or if it's a part. I know there's a Galatia and then a Galatia city. Maybe that's where he was. No. Anyway, so, you know, he had a real heart for the people too, you know, Paul the Apostle. And we look for that kind of person. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. All right, Vanita, did you want to read some?
Yeah, I can read.
Okay.
Let's see. Wait, where is it? Okay.
Middle of page 75, where it says, the Lord doesn't want you to condemn yourself.
Okay. The Lord doesn't want you to condemn yourself because you cannot have condemnation and faith at the same time. And faith, 1 John 5:4, is the victory that hath overcome the world. The Lord knows that you have to have faith to overcome. He does not want you to waste time with condemnation when it's not necessary. Condemnation does come from willful disobedience, but not from ignorance or from failure or for failure. What Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law. So the law is the law, whether it is on the pages of the Old Testament for them, or upon our minds and upon our hearts for us. Through the commandments of God in the New Testament, we came to a revelation of what sin is, and now we start being held accountable for it. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Howbeit, I had not known sin except through the law. For I had not known coveting except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, finding occasion, wrought. Oh, shoot. I accidentally pushed the wrong button there when I tried to turn the page. Just a second. Except the law had said, thou shalt not sin, but sin finding occasion wrought in me through the commandment all manner of coveting. So the word of God caused us to be sinners. You may say, hey, I have a solution for that. I just won't read the book. But if you do that, you won't bear fruit. If you remember, Jesus was the sower who sowed the seed, or sperma, and the sperma was the word of God. And the word of God goes into the hearts of men, and it brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. what is it? I don't know why I can't think of it.
Mark 4:14.
Thank you. The sower soweth the word. And these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, straightway cometh Satan and taketh away the word which hath been sown in them. And these in like manner are they that are sown upon the rocky places, who when they have heard the word, straightway receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway they stumble. And others are they that are sown among the thorns. They are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Notice that the last group was the only one out of the four he spoke about that entered the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
No, I just thinking on how interesting that the next parable of the weeds is we're going to, the people bind the weeds in bundles. And that's the word used in Matthew 18:18, to bind and to loose, you know. So we have that authority to tread upon these words. It's a sad thing that every single denomination has their own narrative, you know, that they're divided on. And all these Christians, I guess, have to become disciples to narrow it down, you know, because if you're a disciple, you're learning from someone, and it's not a denomination, and you're following someone. And it's not a denomination, and it's going back to the name thing, you know, the significance of this pillar for this new name he's getting, which is Israel, and he shall rule as God, and the God of heaven is trying to mature us so that we would know we have authority. Yeah, I like the policeman thing that stops the 18-wheeler with his whistle. You know, he's got authority, but the power comes from somewhere else. You know, I like the light switch one, too. You turn the light switch on, and you expect the light to come on. You know, so the light switch didn't do it. The power had to be reconnected. And how do we get... How do you get that connection, you know? Anyways, there's the woman who put some leaven in the meal, and it became all leaven, you know? So if she didn't put that leaven in the meal, it wouldn't have been all leaven. But that was a good thing in that parable. It's a tricky thing for some people that were back then when Jesus explained that parable to them. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Let's see. Joe, did you want to read?
Yes, I'll do that.
All right. All right. Go ahead.
So you're really in a catch-22. You have to read the Word of God, but God will work it in you to do of His good pleasure. As long as you walk by faith in what Jesus did, Philippians 3:2-13, you are reckoned righteous because of your faith in what Jesus did for you, Romans 4:5. And since you're reckoned righteous, you're not eligible for the benefits of God. He gives you the gift to walk in His steps as long as you walk by faith. God fulfills in you. Some people try to turn us around by condemning you into obedience, but that's the law, by trying to put the cart before the horse. You're not going to be justified in that way. It's the other way around, Romans 7:8. From apart from the law is sin, is death. And I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. We have no choice but to go on to study the word and put the word in our heart so that we might bear fruit. At the same time, we're becoming more responsible, just as any child becomes more responsible as they're growing up. We attribute more responsibility to them, just as a father does to us. But it also is a growth of grace, because the more knowledge you get, the more grace you receive. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, much not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of work, but no man should glory. The more knowledge you have, the more grace you can receive, because grace is based on faith in the knowledge that you have. So it's not as though you're going to get it more trouble if you read the Word of God more. Of course, if you read it and you're hearer of a word and not a doer, you will be judged. That James chapter 1, 22 says, but be ye doers of a word and not hearers only, deluding your own self. You will be proving yourselves not to be who you proclaim to be, and that's a Christian. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone that hangs upon a tree. Having become a curse for us, does that cover everybody? Does it cover everything? Does it cover every sin? No. Remember that in the New Testament, it has to do with your knowledge. James 4:17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice, no more a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fearless of fire which shall devour the adversaries. In other words, if you premeditately sin with your will, the sacrifice of Jesus in Galatians 3:13 to deliver you from a curse does not apply to you. The atonement does not cover that type of sin. The atonement covers ignorance and failure, like a child who falls due to do not rightly divine the word because of not having wisdom. But it does not cover willful disobedience. I wish all Christians understood this. I hear people say, it's all under the blood, but that's not true. Jesus does not pay that penalty for that kind of sin. And if Jesus did not pay that penalty, guess what? That means you have to pay the penalty. A great example of this, when David sinned with Bathsheba. Yeah, he repented when he was faced with that Nathan the prophet, faced with Nathan the prophet, 2 Samuel 12, 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, wherefore thou hast despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from my house, because thou hast despised me. Yes, he repented, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put that away by sin, thou shalt not die. But now he was going to have to pay the penalty with his heavy judgment on his house for his willful disobedience. Then go on.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew. I was muted.
I have a question then concerning this, because we know about the millstone that the Lord mentions about the little child who gets stumbled with a millstone. I don't think David had a millstone here, but he was still forgiven here. He was still pardoned, but he was going to pay for that sin. But could it be that a millstone might be given to a person and they not know it, which would cause them to sin? You know, because a stumbling would be a sin, right? If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you'd be thrown into the sea. And I know of a corporate millstone in chapter 18 of Revelation, but I guess this puts an emphasis on the people who are supposed to be in office. Would that be a correct saying?
Go ahead, Judy.
I'm thinking that story about David is, you know, his lust got in the way. And he wanted Bathsheba, and he even, you know, set it up so her husband would be murdered. So he willfully, you know, lusted and then murdered, you know. So it's like, you know, that was, I don't know what he knew the law, you know, whatever. But I think the other thing you're talking about is when you cause somebody to sin, the millstones, you know, would be better for them to have a millstone on their neck. You cause someone to sin. You did something to, isn't that what that means?
Well, you know, it's just that sometimes people have a habit of saying, you're a sinner, but just believe that you're saved. You know, something dumb like that, you know. The only thing you can ever hope to be is a sinner, so just be happy you're saved and get on with your life. That some people say those things, and that would make a defect to a person who's just young in the Lord, you know. Sometimes they might say, God doesn't see your sin. He sees you. I forget how that one goes anyway. God doesn't see your sin. He sees you in a different light or something. And of course, God sees your sin, you know. And of course, this is something of a child that may have sinned, you know. And he didn't sin with a high hand, but he may have sinned unwittingly. But if sin is inputted into someone, then by these things, and the child goes off and sins, you know, then that's something different, wouldn't it be? That would be the millstone in action. So there's a huge danger here, too, on the flip side of this, if you understand what I'm trying to get at here. Anyway. It just shows that verse in James chapter 3, verse 1. Let there be few teachers among you, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. And a teacher is a high office. People can teach, but not everyone's a teacher. You know? So, I was just thinking something weird there, I guess. I don't know.
Most of us know that we've committed a sin. There are some people that don't understand. You've got whole denominations out there that, like Andrew was talking about, they just gloss it over and say, well, it's okay, go ahead and, you know, you're always going to be a sinner and you're going to do this. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. Okay, who's next? Cheryl, did you want to read? All right, Debbie, did you want to?
Yeah, I'll read.
Okay, go ahead.
And I'll try to read slow. Is that some of you right at the bottom of 77?
Yeah. Not the bottom, it's right in the middle.
In the middle. Well, I mean, it's the last paragraph. Some of you out there have also committed willful disobedience in ignorance and have brought judgment upon yourself or upon your house. And you're thinking, I just have to put up with it. There's nothing that I can do. But there is an end to every judgment. When you repent, the Lord will forgive your sin, but he's going to spank you. For if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, Jesus did not bear the penalty, so you have to bear it, but a certain fearful expectation, so you should fear God. You need to cease immediately because you're bringing a curse on your life, since you know what the Bible says and you're willfully disobeying it. However, some things aren't willful. Romans 7, 15 to 25, Romans 7, 19. For the good which I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not do, that I practice. Paul was saying, the evil that I will not do, that I do. he cried out to the Lord to deliver him from these impulsive or compulsive behaviors, Romans 7:20. But if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me. He's lamenting here. I am failing God, but since my will is to do good, it's not me doing it. It's the sin that lives in me. So he had a will to please God, but his flesh was warring against the spirit man who willed to please God. Romans 7:24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that I myself with the mind indeed serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. So Paul received the revelation that the Lord Jesus has delivered us from the power of the flesh and the curse ruling over us. At first, he didn't know what to do because he wanted to please God, but he was failing. His flesh was overruling him. And God said, it's not you doing it, since you don't will to do it. It's that flesh. You and I will together against the flesh. You and I will get together against the flesh. It's our enemy now. Well, how do you cooperate with God in this war against the flesh? You give God faith. Romans 6:11. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You consider it done, and God joins with you in your war against the flesh. Of course, you would waste an awful lot of time in condemnation in a situation like that. Condemnation is right, and it is just for willful disobedience, because you are sinning with the will. But condemnation is not right for merely failing or for presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sins presume to take authority over you But condemnation is not right for merely failing for presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins presume to take authority over you when they don't have it since the cross. We're not under sin anymore. That's the great news. If you want to be delivered from the curse, Jesus already delivered us from the curse, Galatians 3:13. But not when the curse comes. But not when the curse comes, because the sin is from willful disobedience. So with that in mind, let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Basically, what it says is that if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments, which in the New Testament he has written upon our hearts and upon our minds, he will bless us. We'll be blessed in our health, provision, protection, family, and on, everything is included in the blessings. I'll stop.
Okay. Anybody got any comments? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, I guess a lot of the church people, at least people I've talked to and stuff and where I was, you know, it's like, I don't know that they read enough of the word. So that's part of the problem. They're just listening to the church pastor, you know, once or twice a week and what they tell them and stuff. So when it says that, you know, that God writes his commandments, you know, his word, and so we know what's right and wrong. He writes it upon our heart and our minds. And that's just, I think that's a big, huge difference between like a nominal Christian and somebody who's reading the word, but yet doesn't yet know everything that it means, you know, but then they're still caught up in their religious stuff, you know, and being busy doing a lot of things. I'm just witnessing that now with somebody I know. And it's like, well, you know, she's running, you know, she's really excited, you know, and I'm not going to try to discourage her. She's filling her head with the word, but she's listening to a lot of stuff that is just a lot of false prosperity stuff. And I just, you know, I know God's going to do something great, but, you know, he sees her heart, but it's like, is she reading the word with the mind too? And that, I say that about her, about anybody. If they're reading the word with the mind to understand it and to know what's right and wrong and what God wants from them, you know, are you seeking to know who God is? Are you seeking to know who Jesus is and what he expects of you? And but then they got all this, what do you want? I guess it's a mixture, right? A mixture of stuff, they're reading the word and they can't understand maybe what they're reading because their preachers are telling them something that doesn't make sense and it doesn't really line up with the truth. Anyhow, just some of the stuff I think we're all praying about for people when we hear the stuff that comes out of their mouths. We see that and we witness what they're saying. And but thank God, I was there once, and if he got me out, he'll get them out too, right? If they have a real heart for the Lord, he sees that. So thank you, Lord, for changing people's minds about things when they read the word, that they start seeking you and asking you questions about what this means. And if it doesn't make sense to them, that they'll start thinking about what they're hearing. Thank you, Lord. Repentance is your beautiful gift. Thank you, Lord.
One of the things that I've found out over the years, can you hear me? Is that most Christians don't understand the sovereignty of God. They don't. Everything's just happening cause, and there ain't nothing they can do about it. But when they find out that God is sovereign, then they can do something about it. But right now, they've been preached that you're going to sin, you just might as well just repent and come back in and come on up to the altar. We'll have an altar call every Sunday, and everybody can come on up and repent and do all that. And it's just craziness. But most people in this fellowship here knows what sin is, generally speaking, and will repent when they come to the realization of it, and praise God for that. Okay,
I'll
who's
read,
next?
Michael.
Oh, okay, Barbara, go ahead.
Okay. The very opposite is the list of cursings, and I'd like to point out some things to you about this. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You are only held accountable for the light that you have. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light is walking in the knowledge of what we know of God's commandments about righteousness and sin that we have written upon our mind and on our heart. If we walk in that, he said, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's an awesome deal, folks. When we walk by faith, we're not under these curses. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, we're walking in more and more light until it's midday and the sun is straight overhead and there are no shadows left. There's nothing but sunlight, so we're walking in pure light. It doesn't start out that way. There are some shadows behind us when the sun starts coming up. But as we walk in the light that God gives us, God puts more light in front of us. And as we take one step at a time in the light we do have, we have a path to walk down. Otherwise, we're condemned for all the light instead of just the light we have in front of us. That's a wonderful thing about the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the Lord, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments, all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Deuteronomy 28:18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, meaning your children, and the fruit of thy ground, meaning your crops, your income and provision, the increase of thy cattle and the young of thy flock. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. In other words, everywhere we go, there's going to be a curse. And here's something that most Christians don't believe. Deuteronomy 28:20. The Lord will send upon thee cursing, discomfiture. Did I say that right? Discomfiture. And sorry.
Discomfiture.
Oh, discomfiture. And rebuke in all that thou puttest thy hand unto do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the evil of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will send a curse. There's a lot of prosperity teaching nowadays that says everything good comes from God and everything bad comes from the devil. But we know that a parent sometimes has to use something bad to motivate a child to do right. They will take a switch and chase it. They will take a switch and chase in a child in order to give them a reason to turn away from their sins and to do right. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's better to love the Lord and obey him because of love. But the beginning of wisdom is not love, it's fear. If you need to fear to obey the Lord, then you'd better get the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3:7. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The Lord sends the curse. He wants to motivate us to turn away from our sins and do what's right before the end of our pilgrimage, or we'll fall off this earth into hell. It's not the devil's will to turn us away from our sins. The devil just hates us, but it's the Lord. But it's the Lord's love. The devil just hates us, but it's the Lord's love that sends chastening to his children. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Some children are stubborn and need more whippings than others. Should Amen. I go on?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry, my cat was, she was just getting in the way here.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that's probably your cat in the way.
Yeah, she was stepping on my book and trying to be able to read, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
All right, you want me to continue?
No, let's see if Cheryl wants to. Cheryl, do you want to read? How about you, Megan?
I can read.
Okay.
With my tablet, anytime I mean, the unmute button goes to hide and I got to search for it.
Okay. That's all right. Go ahead and start reading. The truth is.
Okay. The truth is that the Lord ordained. Spoke and sent the curse. Deuteronomy 28:21. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest in to possess it. 22. The Lord will smite thee with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with fiery heat, and with the sword, with the blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. 24. The Lord will make the rain of thy land powder, and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. 25. The Lord will cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and shalt flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be tossed to and fro from among all the kingdoms of the earth. 27. The Lord will smite thee with the boil of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scurvy and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. 28. The Lord will smite thee with madness and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. 35. The Lord will smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore boil whereof thou canst not be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the crown of thy head. 36. The Lord will bring thee and thy king, whom thou shalt set before over thee, unto a nation that thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. He will bring you into bondage. Deuteronomy 28:37, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples whither the Lord shall lead thee away. And on it goes, the curse of God upon man to turn man from his sins. Some people might say that the devil is trying to turn man from his sins because the curse only comes from the devil. But we've just read that the curse doesn't come from the devil. The curse comes from God through the devil. You want me to go on?
No, that's okay. That's fine right there. I couldn't get my mute button off. Okay, has anybody got any comments? I've heard some of these faith preachers even say that God doesn't put anything on you. Yeah, I've heard of, lots of them do that. It's just God is good and devil is bad. What happens is God opens the door up to allow the devil to come in. Anybody else got anything on what we've just... Yeah, there's no fear when you do that, when you think that. You should have a healthy fear of the Lord, because he can cause you to be in some mighty treacherous positions. Okay, we'll stop right there. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
I just want to say we got our copies now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you have to go to get them? Walmart?
Lulu. Yeah, Ben went and bought some books for us. He bought us a good news.
Okay.
He bought us Sovereign God and God's Vaccine. That's a good one. I'm reading through that one right now.
What was that last one?
God's Vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. It is. Well, praise God. That's great. Thank you, Lord.
They actually come across the border.
Okay. Didn't run into any embargoes either, did you? Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything to say? I'm going to mark that I don't know.
I'm just curious. It's like, wouldn't that be cool if Walmart started selling these books?
Yeah, it would mean awesome. And they may do it. We may own Walmart one of these days. Who knows, you know? You just never know. Well, we're about out of time. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say? I'd like to pray about. I think it's going good with everybody reading, don't y'all? Yeah, because I get tired. I get torn. No, I don't either. I'm confessing a good confession. Go ahead, Joe.
That's just what I'd like to say. I haven't been a long time with UBM and studying, well, learning about the word. But it's only the last few years, because of the Lord working in my life, to show it's important to know the one who writes the book. And if you don't, for me, it was all about Christianity. Jesus died for your cross, at the cross for your sins. That's plain. Everybody knows that. But if you want to really know the Lord, he wants to see if you really enjoy the study, the book, the reading, the comfort, the prayer, and the trials. If you enjoy that thing, then your priority is God in your life. That's what, for me, he says, you have to understand that the Lord is, who he says he is, make everything important. Make whatever you do in life, enjoy it, because the Lord gave you it as a gift. You get nothing for free. It's a gift. You cannot earn it. That's for me. Is just the same as study years. It's all because of grace. It's a gift. You can brag about nothing. All is a gift. We got something that many few people have. There's nothing to be proud of. It's just this, what you have. Don't lose your crown. Hold on to it. Don't be pride. Follow Jesus' steps.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, Joe. Good. Well said. Okay, we're out of time. Lord bless y'all. We'll see you again next time, Lord willing.